You know, turkeys at Thanksgiving time. We didn't eat turkeys. Mm-hmm. I was sold for money. At her hen, she sold the eggs for money. That's how we done it.
Okay. So.
And whole milk. We sold milk.
You sold milk. So basically, when you were growing up, the farms were owned by white people, and then the black people worked the rented farm.
Rented. Some black men might have owned a farm. But there was most people, some of them were sharecropping. But you said it was tenant farming we were doing. And we didn't know, well, we called it money rent, you know, you said. We didn't know a lot of terminology, but anyway, when it was time to bring the money to the town, your mom would bring cash money to the, what it was, I think, I can't even remember how much you rented for per year. But in the meantime, so. They always got, but and then everything my dad raised. See, if he made good on his cotton, that was his money. And if he had some corn, you know, for to feed the animals and hay, that was his. And he had to give him half of it. But a lot of times, people would share crop, and by the time they got through, at the end of the year, they would have nothing because they would have to buy the one who owned it by the fertilizer, the cotton seeds, and on by the end of the year, and then maybe. You might have to get groceries during that year, and they kept close tab on you. So at Christmas time, when you paid up, you'd have but a little.
So, what the relationship between in this area in your area between black and whites while you were growing up, was it a positive relationship or a negative relationship, or do you remember?
Well, white was white and black was black.
Right. So it was.
Well,
separate?
Separate, yeah. Separate, you know. All white, they might. You know, separate. Because we didn't go to school with them. Not through high school, not through college. And they lived on one side. Well, we had a white neighbor, you know, but they were white and we were black. We knew our limitations. We didn't go to their house and sit down and eat. They didn't come to our house. They might, you know, just come over. They might, they wouldn't, and back in the day you couldn't borrow it, but, you know, my mom there was like a cup of sugar or something, but, you know, you didn't do, you know. They always had a, and my dad always tried to have what we needed, so we wouldn't have to, you know, ask them for nothing. We had enough groceries and sugar and butter and whatever, bread. You didn't borrow it from them.
He sounds like a very proud man.
Oh, he was. He was an honest man. He had a. He didn't take no junk now. He stood up for, you know, sometimes they would try to use you. You know how people try to use you? But not my dad, because he's very firm and fair and square with people.
Can you tell me about, or if you've had a specific experience with racism that you had in your earlier years?
No, not really. I mean, when I was younger, I remember me and a little white girl used to play together, you know. But other than that, and then one time I was, I guess, I might have been in, maybe high school, and this lady, they were, had Seward Air Force Base out there, and this lady had a big house, and on Saturday mornings, she might let me wash the dishes, you know, for 25 cents, clean up the kitchen, and then another younger lady there was married to an officer, I guess that's why I like soldiers, huh? And she, you know, when her husband come home on Saturday at 12, they would go walking through the woods, and I kept the baby. And I thought it was so neat when they go walking through the woods and come back. We didn't know nothing about love and nothing back in the day. But he'd come back, he'd have her on his back, you know. And I just knew that was love. I said, if I get a husband, I won't let him carry me on his back. And never did get to ride his back. So when he came home about 12, see, I'd go and wash the dishes from like Miss McBride. I can't even remember my girl, the lady's name. Well, kept the baby. She was renting from them. And they would go. He'd come home in his uniform and get undressed. And he'd walk way back in the field and And then when they, I guess they had, I'm sure they had a watch on her. Then they come back. Mm-hmm. And then had a private, I don't know what to, but anyway, she would always be, you know, how you hop on the back lot and, mm-hmm. and we, oh, we just laugh. And the other, oh, you know, maybe, she was a younger, she was much younger than the people they rented from, because the people they rented, was renting from, had three children. Mm-hmm.
So, do you think that living in a segregated, world or segregated society and living separate affected the person that you became or affected the choices that you made for your life?
I wouldn't think so. I don't know, because my parents always wanted us to be something, you know. Mm-hmm. Just because we were segregated and they had colleges and people that were outstanding black folk. Mm-hmm. And he wanted us to have more than, he didn't want us to be on the farm all his life. Mm-hmm. So he wanted us to go to college. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And you guys had role models.
Yeah, we had role models. I had a old, one of my older sisters got married young, so mm-hmm. she had all the children. Then my other sister went to college. Mm-hmm. She, so then my brother went to one, you know, talked about, felt my grandmama's chain, what you call it. Mm-hmm. He went to the army, and then my baby brother, he didn't want to go to the army, so he could get a deferment. Mm-hmm. So my daddy, he stayed on the farm and kept the farm. Mm-hmm. But anyway, he wanted the girls. He said that back in the day, you worked in the white homes, and he said that sometimes they, you know, wasn't kind to you. Mm-hmm. So he wanted us to look the best and act the best and mm-hmm. be cute.
Right. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, tell me something about the way people used to dress in the 40s and 50s when you were younger. What kind of clothes did y'all wear? What your clothes look like?
Let's see. We had the broomstick skirt. A lot of, you know, gathers in it. Mm-hmm. Blouses. Everything was long. Mm-hmm. And then clothes. And we didn't wear pants. Oh, until way, I can't remember when people, and when we went to we didn't wear pants. You always had on a dress or skirt or suit. Mm-hmm. Back in my day, when we went to college and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then we went with teaching, not same. Mm-hmm. And then if I remember, when pants came out, I can't remember the day, but you couldn't just wear pants. You had to wear like a pants suit. Mm-hmm. And you always had to look professional.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And what about today? What do you know about fashion and dressing and music?
Today people wearing just anything, something, nothing. Naked. Uh-huh. Everything showing up from bottom to top. But anyway, being in home economics, you know, that we had to, you know, we took sewing and clothing. We had the pattern books to go by. Mm-hmm. We had a very good teacher. And and the business people dressed, and then the kids, everybody just, you know, wore pretty clothes, and the kids from the north, you know, mm-hmm. had better clothes than we did, but we had nice clothes, you know. Mm-hmm. We wore skirts and blouses and sweaters, and our little skirts more or less had a little flare to them. Mm-hmm. You didn't wear nothing too tight back in that day.
Right. What has been your greatest joy in life?
Big course. Well, I've had good health and had a good marriage and had a good family. Mm-hmm. I'm not rich, but I'm healthy. Mm-hmm. And I'm striving to be a Christian every day, and I try to be helpful to others, and I enjoy helping other people. Mm-hmm. And I'm always, somebody's saying, you always lift me up. Like, mm-hmm. When I talk to people, they say, "Something, you talk too much." And I'm trying to tell people that life is good, and it's always their life can be better than my life because they can have more than I had. They're exposed to more, and their mannerism isn't good now. If they could work on their mannerism and the clothing, and that we can achieve, we can be anything we want to be, but you got to teach them.
Okay.
And another thing, most of them don't know anything about love. If you teach people love, and we just teach saying this, first, before you can love others, you got to love yourself.
Right.
If you can love yourself, then your love will go and sprout on somebody else. And if you tell somebody something, make sure you tell them the truth. And always be true to them. And always be fair with people. And tell them they had to put it in their own mind, you know. Because you can't be rich. You can't be dishonest now.
Right.
You want to be everything you get, you want to be honest. You don't look behind somebody looking behind your back, and, you know. Drugs weren't out when we were there. No drugs, no alcohol, and alcohol wasn't either. So we didn't know about it. So and hard work won't kill nobody.
Okay. You said before, earlier, you were like, when you were growing up, races were black and there were white. How do you think that the definition of black has changed since you've gotten out, from when you were growing up to now?
Well, when we were black, we knew our limitations. We knew there was a line
you didn't cross.
You didn't cross. You know, the association was black. Now it's different.
How's it different?
Because I would say we looked up to the other race. And now the blacks married the white. I have a daughter, and her daughter is married to a Caucasian. She has a brother. She's married to a girl from Cuba. And they have children. In my generation, everybody was black. And in her mama's generation, everybody was black until integration came. And it's different, but we have to learn. The black and the white had to learn to, love each other. It's not a hard pill to swallow, but when you look at it, it's different. And then I found out, since our guys can marry the other race, They've lost something, because the black man, when all men were black, I think they had more strength in themselves, strong. They looked good, they worked hard, and just wanting their own business, just a lot of things they were doing, because they said, I'm black and I'm proud. Remember that? I'm black and I'm proud.
Yeah, James Brown.
Yeah, I'm black and I'm proud. And you wanted something, and you wanted it for yourself. But they've gotten, and all these things, all these subsidiaries they're getting, I guess that's the right word.
Subsidies?
The things they're getting, food stamps.
Yeah, subsidies.
Subsidies they're getting. Nobody knew about it when we were growing up. So it made them, us made them lazy. Because when we were growing up, fellas weren't in jail. A black man wouldn't want to go to jail. No. He wanted to be looking good with a suit on. Everybody had to wear it a whole year, but he had the suit on his tie. And looking intelligent. And you couldn't tell, they said, you can't tell a black man back in the day if he had any education or not, unless he opened his mouth. But by the terminology, it's English. So we've lost a lot of good stuff, I think. I think it has helped us in one sense, and then I can't say it hindered us, but hopefully and prayerfully, we had to stand tall. We just got to be, black and proud.
Well, we are coming to the final questions. We've got a couple more questions that I wanted to ask you. The first is, are you involved with any churches or community groups or anything like that?
Yes, I am.
What are you involved in?
I'm involved with the Better Living Club. Comes through vocational education.
Mm-hmm.
And which is, we deal with a lot of people in the community and have fashion shows and gardening. And I once went to class, took a master gardening in this area, in this county, mm-hmm. and was a part when it first set it up, my master gardening. Mm-hmm. I've taken a lot of classes through about agriculture and farming.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to help everybody. We like to gardening and you know, helping other people, like training. The Alpha Club is for family communities, family and community living.
Mm-hmm.
And we're supposed to help with children. Maybe we can see some families need this, that, and the other.
Mm-hmm.
Might need food. And also teach them how to plan menus and how to clean up and how to budget. So home economics is the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing we try to do.
And what do you have any other things that you?
I go to attend church, and we have a member of Green Mountain Church of Christ on Square Hall Road, mm-hmm. and we have Bible bowls for the children and mm-hmm. picnics. And like the other day, we have this young lady here, Jacoby Barber, who goes to Riverdale.
Mm-hmm.
Has won a lot of trophies and stuff, been in the paper all year, and we organized a little group, and we got to go down to the Grand Ole Opry to see him give out awards.
Mm-hmm.
We try to keep abreast, teach them to read the newspaper, listen to the radio, mm-hmm. and have everything good on their mind. But most of all, if we try to teach them from a very young age, if you teach the children how to love each other, mm-hmm. love themselves, you know,
mm-hmm.
don't teach them to be, love yourself, and then you'll be able to share love and give it to somebody else.
Well, that leads me to my last question, which is there any information that you want to share that we hadn't talked about so far in the interview? Is there anything else you want people to know?
Well, I think it's a very good interview. I think it was quite well written.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we left out anything.
Okay.
What do you think?
I think we did good.
Well, I've had a good, a good life. You know, I wasn't rich, I wasn't poor.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't been in need of anything, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't had transportation, you know, like people had cars and things. My parents didn't let us hang out on Saturday nights. My mama and my parents was, well, I guess I don't know the word, but they're very concerned about our welfare.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the day, you didn't run for a lot of guys. And
mm-hmm.
They always knew where you were.
Mm-hmm.
I think you didn't. You think you were sleeping, but you can't sleep.
Mm-hmm.
But I had a good life. And I've raised one of my daughters adopted,
mm-hmm.
adopted my niece, and I adopted and my husband. We adopted her when she was 10, educated her, and she's doing real well.
Mm-hmm.
And she's the one got the children who married and got interracial. Was it interracial?
Interracial
children, and we love them. It's three of them.
Mm-hmm.
Now the children I had, a boy and a girl, they don't have it. They're not even married.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, life goes on, and you make it. You can make your life sad and you can make it bad, but I'm finding out that if you try to help somebody,
mm-hmm.
you'll be better off.
Amen.
Uh-huh. So,
well,
I'm proud of you all. I'm proud of you as a student.
Well, thank you.
I hope how well you do. And you come back and visit Rutherford County and come visit and see what you can help us do in our neighborhood.
Okay.